here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that we get to come out and join together in faith. And you know, the Lord says that especially when we see times like what we've been experiencing, the Lord says that's even more important for us to join ourselves together. I'm telling you, the Lord says that His commanded blessing comes upon the brethren when they join themselves in unity. And I will tell you, just when you take the time to come out to worship God and enter into His house of prayer, that's what He declares the church to be. A place where there's answers, a place where there's peace, and a place where there's His presence. Amen? So I just thank God for the love of God that is on our lives and in our heart. And I thank God for the love that is just growing in you every day. Amen? And this morning, we're just going to be so thankful for the goodness of God. I'm telling you that we're going to worship Him, and you are going to sense the presence of God coming upon you. See, I want you to know something. God has a focus on you every day, even when you're not focused on Him. You know, the Bible says that the Lord stands at the door of our heart and He knocks, just waiting for the moment that we will open up so He can begin to work with us. And I thank God that the Bible says His mercies are renewed every day. So every day God wakes. When we wake up, of course, God never sleeps or slumbers, so He's always awake. But I want you to know that every day when you wake up, the Lord has already refreshed mercy for you and grace for you, so that in any moment when you look towards Him, He's there. Amen? God bless you. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Thank you. this world. We prophesy for dead bones to live again, Lord God. For those that are dead in sin and don't know you, we prophesy that they would live, that they would breathe again, Lord. In your name, they would breathe again in Jesus' name. Like Lazarus, it came out of the ground. They're coming up. They're coming up. Woo!
Thank you.
you know he's never going to leave nor forsake you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at. Listen, when you were saved, when you said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you raised from the dead on the third day, you were at the lowest that you were ever at because you were dead in sin. And you heard him call your name. And you said yes to him. And if the devil can't stop that, and if God is with you then, there ain't nothing God won't do for you. And there ain't no time he ain't with you. Amen?
This has not left me all morning. After what Pastor Phil said this morning, just what Pastor Regina said, I need to share this with you. And it's not meant to put fear in you or anything, or condemnation or anything. But when you're a child of God, he protects you. He restores. He heals. He does anything that you need for him to do. And I was traveling this weekend, and I had gone through a busy intersection. Not 5 seconds later, I look through my rearview mirror, and I seen this car go airborne and flip and turn over on its hood. And immediately, it's like, thank you, Jesus. Those are the kind of things when you're a child of God that God protects you. Even when you don't see what's behind you, at the side of you, or what's in front of you, God protects you and keeps you. And I urge you, if you are not a child of God, you're not under that protection. And you have a decision to make.
Listen, that's what the gospel's all about right there. We'll go into the next song in a second, but that's what the gospel's all about. We don't come in here and sing to worship ourselves or to get accolades. Who cares? We come to lift up the one true God, the one who changed us. That when I was yet dead in sin, listen, when I was a sinner, I held a gun to my head and I pulled the trigger and no bullet came out. And I pointed it forward, pulled the trigger, and a bullet came out. You tell me how that can happen, but by the hand of God, protecting and keeping me for his plan and his purpose. And somebody must have been praying for me. Listen, all of you can have similar, not exactly, but where God has saved you and brought you out. And if you don't know that God, we will take a moment after this long to give you a moment to meet that God. Because there's nothing greater than salvation. The price that Jesus paid on the cross for you and for me, none of us deserve it. Get that in your head that people say, I can't come because I'm not good enough. None of us are good enough. The blood of Jesus is what makes us worthy. Amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Shall be saved and have everlasting life. That's what Jesus did for you. Amen? And if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, I'm just going to let that sink in as we sing this next song. And then we're going to come back to this. Amen?
A love that you never will. And you were constant, always with me. In your presence I am whole. You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close.
Never let go, never let go, never let go. right now, just stand. And for those of you who are saved, pray. Because this is one of the hardest times for some reason for us that were unsaved. And you remember it well. The enemy just fought you. You feel a drawing from the Lord. You feel a peace like something's there. Listen, that ain't by happenstance. That ain't because we're singing. That's because Jesus is here.
Yep.
And Jesus paid the price for you to be saved, for you to be born again. And what that means is that there's no way to heaven. No way but Jesus. He is the only door to heaven.
Hallelujah.
There's no other way. And it's not me that says that. It's the Word that says it. It says all you have to do to be saved is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's that simple. He didn't make it hard. It's that simple. So if you're here today and you say, that's me, I need saved. Or if you're here today, listen, we're going to be bold about it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Because I want you to know how important you are to Jesus. And listen, everybody in this church is pulling for you.
Amen.
Praise they ain't
God.
Against you. They ain't going to think you're weak by coming up every single one of us.
Amen.
Has at one point been this.
Amen.
And has made our way. And even some of us has had to say, Lord, I've not been where I'm supposed to be. Please forgive me. Mm-hmm. And if you are just what we call in a backslidden state, are just not as on fire for God as you have been, we're going to open this opportunity up for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if that's you, just raise your hand up.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Put your hand up to the Lord.
All right, live stream, I'm going to believe that somebody on live stream needs Jesus today because there's such a pull.
Yes.
Okay, come. If you raised your hand just now, come forward and let us pray the prayer with you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you're backslidden, you say, I'm just not where I'm supposed to be with God, come forward.
Amen.
We want to pray with you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. This is the bravest walk you'll ever walk in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
And amen. As we pray this prayer, and I'm going to have Pastor pray this prayer, but live stream, there's anybody on there that's watching that is saying this prayer for the first time, reach out to us and let us know because we want to pray with you and we want to encourage you.
Amen. I'm telling you, I just feel like there's somebody else. The Lord is pulling on your heart. And if that's you, listen, just come to the Lord. I'm telling you, it will be the best decision of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, just hold my hand for a minute. And just say this. Say, Lord, I receive you as Lord and Savior. I've known you, but today I ask you to take all of my life and be with me. I confess you as Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I live for you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Do you know this moment is so important that there's a party going on in heaven right now? It says everything stops and a party goes on when one person is brought into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Woo! We just celebrate with you. Hallelujah! Yes! I don't think we celebrate salvations enough.
Amen. Amen.
I don't.
You guys know that every now and then I have to tell her to get out of my business, don't I? Amen. When you hear my message today, you'll know why I'm telling her, get out of my business.
I'm innocent.
God.
It's the Holy Ghost. You got to talk to him.
It is. Praise God.
Amen. Give the Lord Thank a hand you for clap that one hand clap. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
I needed it.
I forgot. You're going to take
got?
This back.
Okay. I got you.
Till later. Hey, we just want to talk for just a few minutes about how good God has been. Amen. And we want to remind you that we were really believing a few weeks ago for our friend brother Chris D'Amico to come and really be with us on Thursday night. And how many of you were here for that and enjoyed the service?
Guess who's coming back in September?
Amen, amen.
Chris D'Amico will be back with us in September. Did I steal your thunder?
Girl, Okay, now listen. You've been stealing my thunder all day. You need to back up.
I'm sorry, babe, because I just remember the time I was in North Carolina with a women's conference, and you told everybody I was having a women's conference before I even came back and said I'm going to do it. And I see you on Facebook saying, we're having a women's conference. So I was just paying you back.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, there are some things that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, when it's bad stuff. But when it's jokey stuff, trust me, God gave us a sense of humor for a reason. Amen?
He did.
I said all the time, I say it all the time, I think God is up in heaven when we are having fun and laughing and true joy is coming out. I believe he is laughing with us.
Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength.
We are made in his image. If we laugh, he laughs. Amen?
A merry heart.
Now, there are some things we do that he don't do.
Amen. That's right.
He don't have doubt and unbelief. Amen.
But you know, actually, when you get in my business, I kind of like it because it means you are one, right?
A spirit. That's the same spirit.
Woo-hoo. Me and you are one, baby. Amen.
All right. Okay, so we just had VBS.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you enjoyed
it? How many of you enjoyed it?
Praise goodness.
Kids, you didn't enjoy it?
Amen.
We got one clapping.
Yeah,
well, Jared, you got one kid clapping. It was your own. So I don't know.
But we're going to have Brother Jared.
No, we were here. We saw some of it. We think they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Did. Man, I don't know if I like swimming or thinking about the fish being fried or what. You know, and I will tell you, this morning I was out in the yard kind of walking through, and I did have a big scare because I found a tiger left over in the Marvelous Zoo. And it was traumatic for a moment, but I survived. So,
thank goodness you didn't get eaten.
Amen, amen. But I'd like for you to tell us about some of the total salvations and all
amen.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad that God celebrates with us, and I'm glad he has joy and laughs with us, because we was doing a lot of that this past week. We had a great time at the Marvelous Zoo, and we're so thankful for all the staff, all the help. So if you guys help, please raise your hand at the very least. Raise your hand. I know who you are. You know who you are, Linda, Logan. Okay, all the people out there, give them a round of applause, because none of this would have happened without all of them.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for you guys, for pastors, for their love and their support for our kids, for my wife, Linda, because I couldn't do this without her. But God was so good and gracious. We had 35 decisions for Christ this past week. So, and we had probably close to 50 different kids receive prayer and ministry from the Holy Spirit through our staff and everything. Amen. So we thank God for that. And the great thing is we saw a lot of new faces.
Amen.
And, you know, just had the opportunity just to really reach out to all kinds of boys and girls. And we just had a great time. It was a lot of fun. So we just thank God that we get to do that. And we look forward to doing it again next year.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I will say this. Every year, we do a different offering challenge in our Vacation Bible School, and the girls always try to outdo the boys. Ugh. And
girls,
you know,
rule.
A couple years ago, Pastor Regina cheated, in my opinion.
It's not cheating.
And helped boost the girls' offering.
When you give money to help the girls, that's not cheating. That's joining with the family of faith of girls.
Amen. But this
you
year,
you could have put money in if you'd had it.
I know, this year. Yeah, I was about to say, if you quit taking it all, if you give me some, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Stay on topic.
This is how the first time I lived that scripture that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus was when I walked in and I had worked all week and I had a nice big fat paycheck with overtime on it, and I walked in the house. I'm the one that had worked all week, and all of a sudden that paycheck went from my hand to hers. And I said, I guess that's the idea of a more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You don't even got to fight the battle and work the hours, and you get the reward. Amen?
And you're praise more than God. A conqueror. Let's just talk about this really fast, because this pet peeve of mine and has been for years since I read this in the Bible.
Uh-oh.
You ever read where the curse is and what the curse is for Adam and Eve eating the apple? The curse on women is she shall have pain in childbirth.
Amen.
And the men's curse is what?
We shall have to work by the sweat of our brow and labor.
How many ladies in here work by the sweat of your brow?
Woo! Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you. Woo. Enough said. How many of you women have had babies in here?
Woo!
How many of you men have worked by the sweat of your brow?
Amen.
How many of you men have given birth to a baby in here? Woo. Kind of seems a little offset, don't you think? I'm just saying.
One day she came home, she said, honey, I've been reading the Bible, and I'm done. I said, what? She said, I don't care if you got to get two jobs or three jobs. Four. I'm done working because I paid. Did I not have your son? She said, did I not do my part of the curse? She said, it's up to you. Go to work. Hallelujah.
You're part of the curse. Be quiet. You are the curse for me.
Huh? But anyhow, we just like to joke and have fun.
No,
but
and before, I still work today, so it's okay.
Before we move on, so the girls pitted against the boys.
Yes.
And the girls won.
Good job, girls!
But anyhow, in their heart and praying and with agreement with us, we have decided that that money that was raised during VBS, we're going to sow it into what's called Indeed and in Truth Ministries. Amen. So
for their events coming up. Amen.
If you guys know Logan and Amber Johnson, they have a ministry called Indeed and in Truth, and coming up, they're doing an event that's going to include some stuff to back to school. And next week, they have a concert coming in, or a worship event.
Yes.
With all some bands. Fountain. And that's going to happen on the 8th. And then on the 13th will be the other event.
It's not a worship event. It's,
come up here.
As we say.
Yeah, he never gets the details right, but it's okay. We love him.
Amen.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
No, it's not specified to be a worship event. What? Huh?
I said, I'm vision, I'm not details.
Yeah, that's so true. Any of you that have ever had to work with him on a regular basis would know. it's a concert event, okay? So, like, we're going to have fire shooting off a stage and smoke and explosions and all kinds of stuff. So it is a concert. The event afterwards, we're going to bring another band in. Now, those guys are going to hold a worship service, and, you know, we're going to preach to people and deal with people and minister to people. So if you want to come out and you want to be involved in it, great. We actually plan to meet a little bit after service and after everything's done with Bob and them, and we're going to kind of go over some of the details and hash out some things that need to get worked out. So if you're interested, go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. And they also have a container out there where you can give things and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yes, out in the lobby.
And it's out
for the back-to-school stuff, supplies. I think we do need to take a moment and say thank you to Pastor Jared.
Amen.
Amen. And give Pastor Jared and Linda some honor for everything that they've done. Amen. He works a full-time job. That's his wife.
Amen.
Woo. He has six boys.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And he's a pastor of our children's church.
Amen.
Praise and God. He goes and he helps out our other campuses when they need a drummer, mm-hmm. when they need VBS done. They're always calling and saying, Jared, can you help? And he is so happy. Okay, so maybe that's Phil. So that's not Randy. But anyway.
Hallelujah.
And he goes and he helps. And these two just give their all to the ministry. And we just love you. We
Amen.
Appreciate you. We think you do an amazing job. And he writes all of his VBSs. He doesn't go and get them.
Right.
He writes them. He gets
Absolutely.
He gets before the Holy Ghost. He asks the Holy Ghost, what do you want us to do?
Faith.
And yes, and they're always amazing. My favorite is still Revival Falls USA.
Ooh,
it's always going to be my favorite. Yeah. We're gonna resurrect Revival Falls one of these years.
Okay, praise God.
Het.
Amen, amen. All right. So is that all the announcements? For
nope, we have Seek and Find tonight.
Yes.
Don't forget, we're going to start at 6:30.
Amen.
Amen. And what this is going to be like, for those of you who may not have been to one of these, we're just going to come in and worship the Lord. We're going to get before the Lord, and we're going to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting back to the root of what we're mm-hmm. supposed to do when things need prayer and need mm-hmm. us to get before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So we're just going to get before the Lord and mm-hmm. let him move. So the yep. worship team will be very busy tonight mm-hmm. for the next three mm-hmm. nights.
Yeah.
Because most Amen. Of it will be just worshiping yep. for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yep. And
so
I'll probably talk just a few minutes tonight just to introduce us to the idea of what we're really doing when we do the time of seeking and finding. Because it's important for us to have an atmosphere where we learn to pray, where we learn to press into God. Those of you who are filled with the Spirit of God and know how to pray in one of the gifts of the Spirit, you need to learn how to really move into these things. And so I'm telling you that when you come in here, you will be impacted one-on-one personally with the touch of God. So I pray that you would set these next 3 days aside like we do for other stuff. Sometimes we need to set time aside for us to have a personal touch with the Lord. Amen? So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and release Pastor Jared and the children. Amen? And then we're going to talk about one more powerful announcement. Is today is going to be a great day. We're right after the service. We're going to take a little break because some may need to transition out. But for all of you who can stay today as the family of faith, we're going to have a great wedding for Mr. Bob Hoover and for Miss Sally Freeman. Amen? Woo! Praise God. And so... And you know how I like to snack and eat, amen? So thank God that we afterwards are going to have some refreshments out there, and it's really going to be a great time. And as a family of faith, I just love these moments, amen? You know, and I just want to share with you today that we're going to get ready to take up an offering, and I just want to remind you that the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, because the Bible says that from the beginning until now, there is what's called seed time and harvest. Amen? And I want you to know that one reason why it's so much more blessed to give than to receive is that, first of all, you take on the nature of your Heavenly Father. You take on the nature of your Heavenly Father. You know, the first thing God did was he gave to us. You know, from the Garden of Eden and from the earth and from giving from the beginning until he gave us Jesus, you understand that your Father so loved the world that he gave. So when we begin to give, we take on the nature of God, but also we release into our life seed time and harvest. Now the Bible says that if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Hello. That could fix a lot of problems for some people. Not in here. You're all friendly in here. But the Bible says that we want to sow mercy so we can receive mercy. Amen. We want to grant forgiveness so we can receive forgiveness. And so not just in your tithe and offering, because actually the Lord says, hey, to all of you who have given tithes and offerings, you should have done that, but don't forget the weightier things of the law, like mercy, love, and forgiveness. Amen? So today, when you get to physically release your offering, your step of faith is attaching you to God's supernatural provision and his ability to come in and join himself with your life. Amen? So this morning, we're just going to pray over the offering, and then we're going to bring the buckets up. And you know how we do it in here? The Bible says, bring ye your tithes into the storehouse. So we like to give people the opportunity to actually bring their gift to the Lord and let him touch what you have. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your blessing upon your people, God. And Lord, I declare your blessing upon their giving, Father. Lord, whether they are releasing their tithe or their offering today, Father, Lord, I thank you that you are the one that sees what they do. You are the one that looks upon their heart, God, and you rejoice with that cheerful giver that trusts you, Father. The Bible says that not only will you open up the windows of heaven and bless them more than they'll be able to contain, but God, it says that you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf, God. And there are things that you will keep separated from us that we'll never experience just because of the goodness of your covenant. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Praise God. First time on live stream for being with us. But also, we have some folks in the house that this is their first time. So we just want to welcome our first time people that are here. Praise God. And it is just such an honor. You know, we've been so blessed since we've been blessed from the beginning. But in particular, you know, if you have forgotten, I want you to know that we are 2 weeks away from celebrating our one-year anniversary in our new building. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, the Lord was reminding me, first of all, to share some things with you over the next couple weeks concerning those things. But the number one thing the Lord wanted me to remind you of why we're here and what our assignment is, that we begin to talk last week about what happens when people get saved and they begin to seek God and how their life can be transformed. And I want to just pick up two scriptures from last week just to remind us of what we ended on. And then I want to talk to you today about what the Lord is talking to me about. You know, I even had someone ask me a while back, what does it mean to be the church of the second mile? Well, I'm going to share some things with you this morning just because I believe not just this house, but every house is supposed to remember that we are people of the second mile. And if you don't know what that means, you're about to get upload on what that means. But I just want to touch base on a couple things first, because I want to remind us of some things that the Lord has said to you and I. And then in the middle of my message, you're going to see how Miss Pastor Regina was stepping on my message today during worship, which we don't talk about these things. And when this stuff happens, it's just the confirmation for me, because she is, after the Lord, my next realm of accountability. Woo! Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is probably more for, you know, the marriage conference that we'll have later on. But I'll never forget the first time I was praying about my wife and saying, Lord, I love this, but I don't like this. And he said, that's none of your business. He said, I gave you your wife because of all the things you like about her. Woo! She makes my heart beat fast, and I look over and say, But anyhow, he said, all of that I gave to you. He said, but also I want you to know something. He said, I put in her some things that are going to rub you the wrong way. She said, there's some things in her. Oh, come on. Listen. I'm glad you said that, but for every married man that's feeling boldness right now, I'm about to slap something on you. He said, you know, we oftentimes think when we say iron sharpens iron, that God's talking about our other friends and people around you. He said, but the sharpest piece of iron I've ever put in your life is that sweetie pie connected to your arm. Now, she ain't gonna like this. But I'm her sharpest piece of iron. Because God put us together so we could sharpen each other to be the best we can possibly be. And I want you to know something that he said, Philip, he said, I gave you everything when I gave you your wife. I said, you did. You gave me everything I believe for. He said, but also, I have some things in her that because she's your gift from me, she's going to perfect you better than you could have ever been, and you will find favor from me. Woo, amen. So that's my off-topic piece that I like to throw in there. And then I will get back to what I really want to get into, because I just want to remind us that the Lord said something to us, hallelujah, right here in the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. So I just want to start right here for just a minute, and then we're going to get into a couple things here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? When you get saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to know that it's no longer you on a journey by yourself looking up to some God that's far away. I want you to know that Jesus comes right in here and possesses this heart and transforms us and lives within us. It says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Then it gives us a caution. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. See, you know, sometimes people will say, if we serve a loving God, why would he send a man to hell? He doesn't. People have to choose to go to hell, kicking and screaming, denying Jesus, and pushing against God every day of their life. You know, the Bible says that in all of the growth of the earth, God has never made any adjustments. I want you to know that the capacity of the earth has never changed. When there was only two people to a few thousand people, even to a million people, even to 500,000 people, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 50 million, 500 million, all the way up to a billion, and now we have 7.5 billion people on the earth. The earth has never enlarged, it's never shrank, and it's never lost its ability to fulfill what man needs. Oh, come on. I remember years ago, they were saying, oh my goodness, all the earth's resources are going to dry up, and you're going to be without this, you're going to be without this. Now they'll tell you that we have more oil just here in America than that could last the next 200 years, even if we increased our use of it. And when we get out 200 years, if the Lord tarries, we'll discover more of what's here to take care of mankind. But I also want you to understand this. The only thing in God's creation that's enlarged every day is the borders of hell. Why? Because it was meant for Satan and his and devils and darkness. It was not ever meant for a man to step foot in it. And the only time a man steps foot or a woman steps foot in hell is when they have not discovered their identity in Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior. And I got to tell you something. Before you leave this earth, you're never going to be able to get up there and say, God, I didn't know. Because I tell you what, one time a guy told me, he said, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I said, yes, you do. He said, I do not. He said, I make sure that I don't believe in God by doing this, this, and this. I said, I got a question for you. I said, do you remember when we were younger? He said, yep. I said, remember how you were scared and you'd hide in your closet because you were afraid of the boogeyman? Oh, yeah. And I said, you don't do that anymore. Why? Because you've discovered the truth. He doesn't exist. I said, but the reason you carve your foot in the stone and try to fight against God is because he tugs on your heart all the time, letting you know he's real. My friend's no longer an atheist. Woo! But I just want to share this with you because I want you to know that the Spirit of God lives in you. Oh, come on, Christians. I want you to know that the Lord says that God dwells in us. Amen? And then, you know how the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be confirmed. And I love it because we don't even get out of the book of 1 Corinthians before it comes to us again. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, what? Like, hello, surprise. This is a question like, what? Like, I'm surprised right now. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I want to just share this with you because sometimes if we're not careful, even after we're saved, we will allow the devil to minimize us. We will allow the devil to intimidate us. We'll allow the devil to lie to us. We'll remember the voices of everything everybody else said, and we don't ever grab a hold of what the Lord has said over you. But the Lord is the only one that has a right to give you your identity because it's him who says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is him who designed you before you ever touched your mother's womb, and it is him who brought forth life into you to give you the breath to breathe. And I want you to understand something, that I don't care what any man or woman on the face of this earth has ever said to you. I don't care who they are. I don't care what authority they have. If they have spoken to you anything that's not from the Spirit of God, they have no right to declare anything over your life. Woo! And you have no right to let experience or the world redefine you when God says that you are his beloved, precious children. I want you to understand something here, that I'm speaking to you like this because the boldness of God really wants to speak to you today to declare some things over you. Now, here is where my sweetie pie was jumping on my message, because I just want to remind you of what the Lord says right here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to share with you what the Bible says. It says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to know something, that when you truly get saved, you might look the same on the outward, but you have been so transformed on the inward that you're not the same person you were yesterday as you are today with the Spirit of the Lord reviving you. The Bible actually says that when we get saved, we are regenerated. It means that we are restored or quickened to life supernaturally, and we now have the Spirit of God himself dwelling in us to make us who we are to be on this earth. Amen? Now, with that being said, it also says here that not only do I become a new creature, but along with the Spirit changing me, I now have the power of the ministry of reconciliation. That means that I'm automatically, if I'm saved, I automatically impact others. Now, there's a good and a bad to that. Uh-oh. Praise God. Hold on to your seats. This is where someone was really meddling in my message today. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of the unction of the wisdom of God, she began to speak this. It says this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what my sweetie pie said is that when we were the weakest we could ever be in life, when the devil had authority over us and he was oppressing us, how do we know he was oppressing us? Just go back and look at what you got going on in life. If you got addictions and fears and abuses and stuff that you know is not good and healthy for you, but you're still involved in it and you can't stop yourself, understand this. The spirit of darkness has oppressive power over you. But when we are that far away from God, no faith in us, living any old way we want to, we believed in our heart what we heard about Jesus being Lord and Savior. And I don't care how you done it. I don't care if you run down to the altar at the altar call. I don't care if you stayed in the back of the church and just whispered it in your heart. I don't care if you were at home watching TV and you got saved. I don't care if you were even drunk and you said the prayer.
That's right.
Woo! Come on now. I know someone today that's a preacher of the gospel and they got saved when they were drunk watching a man preach. And all of a sudden they said, man, this whole way I've been living is wrong. And a moment of clarity came upon them. And they said, Lord, help me. I want to be saved. I want to stop drinking and I want to live for you. A full-blown alcoholic, man. Drinking cases of beer in a week. Drinking hard alcohol to the point where he used to have to leave his car keys at home or at the bar and walk and pick his car up the next day. And that person watching TV, not even in a church service, gave their life to God and broke the authority of death, hell, and the grave off of them in a minute, a second. See, I want you to understand something. That the first time you used your faith to get saved, your voice for the first time in your life transcended even the heavens that you can see and went up and made an explosion in heaven. Well, I can't believe that, Pastor Phil. Oh, yeah? That's why I like the word. But before we move from this, it says that you will have the power, whatever's born of God, and you are whatsoever, believe you me. You've probably been called worse, but I want you to know something. You are a whatsoever and a whosoever, according to the Bible. And it says that if you are born of God, you overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, if our faith can stop the devil from oppressing us when we don't even know the Lord, how much more can your faith do now that you're saved? Oh, I'm setting you up, aren't I? You can feel it coming, can't you? See, I want to know something. If you joined yourself with God and spoke life over yourself for the first time and the joy of the Lord came in and you got filled and fear left you, darkness left you, and you said, man, I don't know why, but I feel different. If that happened when you didn't even have a root in God, what would happen if you build a foundation in Him? And also, if your words touching God's plan for your life had that much power once you're saved, what happens if you don't stop speaking negative over yourself? Well, sometimes where we're at, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, I've been saved and I'm still broke. Because that's all you talk about. You never say, Lord, I thank you that now I'm saved. Not only am I your beloved, but my soul is prospering and my health is prospering and I'm being blessed as I grow in you. Well, hallelujah, praise God. You know, when I was preaching this at home to myself, I had a lot more amens going with it. But I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back up. We're going to stay here because the Lord told me to speak this to you. At your weakest moment, when you were backslidden, unsaved, cussy, fussy, drunk, living in whatever kind of relationships, drinking, smoking marijuana, taking a little drugs, whatever you were involved in, the minute you said, Lord, I need a change and I want Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the power of your words mixed with God transformed your life. Now, I want you to see something here, that if you don't think your words did something in heaven, I want to share with you what the Bible says. You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking, and if you would read this whole scripture, you'd realize this. But way back before we ever got into July and we got into vacation Bible school, I was using Jared and Linda as an example. And I said, here they are with six precious children. In fact, one time, we lost one of them for a minute, didn't we? Thank God the precious little one was just in a vehicle. Right outside. But I can remember receiving a call. And we were frantic. Because we couldn't find one of those amazing Kaiser children. But I want you to know something. Six boys, each of them individual, amen? Each of them with their own energy and personality. But one missing brought such a dread to a mom that she could not do nothing until she found her child. I want you to know something, that this is how God is over you. Doesn't matter who's sitting in the church, the Lord is right now racing around for those who aren't. Amen. You know, I had a little heartbreak this morning. Because someone who I've been believing God now for going on 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7, I won't say how many years, that I believe is supposed to be in this church, got a hold of me yesterday and asked me what time church service was. And I tell you what, I was rejoicing. And then just a little bit before I came out of my office, I got a message that said, hey, my ride didn't show up, so I won't be there, but I'm going to try again. Now, my heart broke. Now, I'm happy to see every one of you, but I'm telling you that every person who's not here that God has called, my heart dreads for them. And I want you to know something, that this is how the Lord is for you. Whew. I mean, I can't say now, but every now and then when my, it used to be when my son was doing something, especially for the first time when he was stepping into something or he was driving the vehicle and he had just got his license. You know, I can say this about him now, that I was confident in who he was. I was confident in what he would do. But I also breathed a breath of just relief when I saw him. Not because I didn't trust him, but just because I don't like for his mom and him to know it, but they already know it, that they have me just wrapped around their fingers. It's ridiculous. Hallelujah. But I just want you to understand that this is how the Lord feels about us. Look what the Bible says. I say unto you in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, first of all, the Lord is talking about how once he finds one sheep that's lost, just like Miss Linda would be just searching all over if one of her boys was lost, from the oldest to the youngest. And it says right here in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle. Amen. Light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligent till she find it. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. See, you didn't even know this, probably, but on the day that you just made the walk down front to receive the Lord, or the day you sat in your seat and received him, or the day you were at home or out on the street or wherever it was that you gave your heart to the Lord, I want you to know, not for anybody else, Shane, not for me, not for Philip, not for Logan, not for Amber, but on the day you did it, heaven erupted and the angels shouted and danced and God rejoiced over you coming to him. Woo! Come on now. And if the Lord heard your prayer on the day of your salvation, what would make you think that he's not just waiting every day to hear your prayer? Give the Lord a hand. I want you to know something, that I wrote a few things down here. Your voice shook heaven the first time you truly used your faith to get saved. Your voice mixed with God's plan for you exploded into heaven. And all you did was believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. I want to remind you that we can go back to the book of Genesis, and the joy of God has never changed for mankind. When we go back and read the book of Genesis, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He spoke over this, he spoke over that, and it all came together. But we don't see in the Bible where God is sitting back just rejoicing about those things. You know what we find out in the Bible? That the highlight of our Father's day in heaven was in the evening time. Every single day he came and walked in the cool of the day with his son Adam. How much is God wanting to walk with you? How much is God wanting to speak to you? How much is the Lord right now wanting to come into your life and be a part of letting you know what he wants for you? You know, the Bible says this, that the Lord said this, not man. He said, my thoughts are more for you than the sand on the face of this earth. Whew. Can you believe that? I mean, listen, you don't have the money. Well, if you're one of these guys like Jeff Bezos, you wouldn't be smart enough, but you'd have the money to. But just to take a trip to land on every beach and declare, God, your thoughts are more than me, than this sand. Get back on your plane. Instead of going to the moon and the stars, get back on your plane and go to the next beach and think, wow, God thinks more of me than this sand. Go out to the Sahara Desert. Now, don't stay there. Take plenty of water with you. But just look around at the mounds of sand and say, God's thoughts are more over me than this sand. Why? Because we think God's just speaking over our life for the few years we exist on this earth. But I want you to know that your Father has spoke over eternity about you. I want you to know that that's why the Bible says that you have a name in heaven right now that's never been spoken on this earth. Because you got an eternal name. When we get to heaven, man, you can forget about time. And the Lord has spoken thoughts over you so that no matter what worlds and what the future is like, He can keep you in His arms. Amen? Whew! Praise God. I just want you to know that the Lord is speaking to you this morning about how much have you belittled yourself and therefore kept yourself separated from Him who should be available to you at any moment. The Bible says in the book of Acts that have we reached towards Him even though He's not far from us. I remember there was a man by the name of Jacob, and he went out and he was seeking for God. And he came to a place where he had an interaction with an angelic being. And when he got done, he said, wow, the presence of God was in this place, and I knew it not. You know, he'd been in that area before. And I want you to know that the Lord is with you. You just have to be willing to reach for Him. And I also want you to know that everything we're talking about today gives glory to Jesus because He's the one that made this possible. You're not living on your own strength. You are living out of the power of what the Lord has done. I want to just remind you of something because remember, I said to you, that a part of your salvation experience is so that not only you can be saved, but others can be saved. I just want to share with you the great commission of Jesus right here in Mark. And remember, I got to get to the church of the second mile. We're building up to that. But it says right here in Mark chapter 16, it says that after Jesus went to the cross, He came and He said something. And it says right here in Mark chapter 14, or Mark chapter 16, 14. After He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. He then immediately turned and loved them and said this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, right now we need to understand something. That you're not just important to get saved, because if you were just supposed to get saved and that was it, you would have got saved and fell over and the Lord would have took you to heaven. But He left you here because through you, through your life, through your prayers, through your testimony, the Lord's expecting the world to be touched. See, it's not just good enough that you're saved. Listen, the Lord wants you to reach and bring every person you know with Him. I will tell you, parents, the Lord gave you your children with a trust that one day you'd bring them to the Lord. Oh, come on. Come on. The Lord gave you your spouse because God expects that you would go so deep in your walk with Him that your spouse would find Jesus easier because you help. I want you to know something, that you might have a neighbor who's on your nerves. Lord, I'm praying for that neighbor of mine. I'm praying for them to move. Hallelujah. Get down the road in Jesus' name. Not while your neighbor's there. Your neighbor's there so you can see from God how you can go up and be a blessing to your neighbor so they can see Jesus in a way that they couldn't otherwise. Oh, I just seen some of you scratching stuff out and saying, Lord, I got to change my prayer list. I got to change my notes. Hallelujah. Lord, that lady I work with, Lord, I thank you, God, that you're just going to move her down the road. Hallelujah. Give her more money. Just get her out of my hair. Stop it. The Lord's wanting you to get outside of yourself. Press into the love of God, and guess what? You'll find a compassion for someone that you didn't even know existed within you. See, this is a part of your God-given assignment. Here we see that the Lord says, I've carried the cross, I've done my part, and now I release to you the responsibility to bring others to the kingdom. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now watch this. And only the pastors and the apostles and the evangelists and the people you see on TV shall lay hands on this. Uh-oh. You know what I love about the Lord is so often in the Bible he says, a certain believer. Paul the apostle, one of the greatest apostles, wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. The man that prayed for him to not be blind and to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to truly confirm his salvation didn't even have a position other than being a certain disciple. Now, he was recognized by the Lord because how he lived was enough to bless someone else. Amen? And I want you to see something that it says, they shall take up serpents, it shall not hurt them. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now listen, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and following. So not only do we get the benefit of salvation, but really we get the responsibility of paving the way for someone else and letting salvation come into their life through our testimony and through our witness and through our life. Amen? Look, remember when Joshua chapter 3, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 3. Remember when they had the responsibility of crossing the Jordan and stepping into what God had for them? I want you to see something because it talks about the Levitical priesthood back in the day, which for us, that means that the Christians and the people that believe in God, amen? And so right here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 13, it says, it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the heavens shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Now, if you need me to interpret that in plain English, that means that if the priest of God just put their foot in the river, it's going to spread. And it's going to be held back. And listen, this was during the flood season. Have you ever seen a river raging during flood season? I mean, this wasn't like when the river was low and easy to get across. It's raging, it's pouring, it's harvesting. The water's going crazy. But if the people of God would just put their foot where God expects them to put it and tells them to put it, look what happens. And it says, it shall come to pass that when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city, city Adam, that is beside Zeratin. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. You know why the Lord calls us to be the church of the second mile? And not just this church, but every church. Because the Bible also says in Romans chapter 15, we who are strong should bear the burdens of the weak. Do you understand that your salvation is actually the key to someone else finding God who may not be strong enough to find him on their own? See, I want you to know something, that the Lord's going to put you in situations where you start doing for others what they can't do for themselves, and you're going to do it in such a way that the Lord might put you through something, but if you will bear the burden of it, you're going to see that God had already meant for you who may become stronger to open a door for someone else. I just want to give you one more scripture that I'll preach on later and really dig into on a Thursday night. But for right now, I think I got to go. Oh, my. Yeah. I believe that I didn't have this written down, but I believe I'm going to go to it for just a minute. And it says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, and I, meaning the Lord, sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, sometimes we see bad things go on in people's lives, and sometimes I just wonder if the church, who's called by his name, would just humble themselves, turn from wicked ways, and pray, could he have healed the land? And we just saw scripture where the Lord said that he looked around for someone who would connect with him so he could bring healing and blessing. Remember, the Bible says, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, there ain't no sickness and disease up in heaven. There ain't no hurt, there ain't no murder, there ain't no hate, there ain't no darkness. God has heaven restored. But on this earth, for right now until the Lord returns, restoration, protection, blessing must come through the church. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, if my people would pray for those in authorities and all mankind, we could live a good and peaceful life. Oh, man, come on. To whom much is given, much is required. See, we like salvation when we're just talking about, oh, bless me, bless me, bless me. But there's a part of the responsibility that falls upon us to make sure we're making room for someone else. You know, the Bible says that a man that doesn't provide for his household is worse than an infidel. So that means that a Christian that does not provide for his household is worse than an unbeliever. And I want you to know something, that that's not just your physical job that you should be going to and rejoicing that God gave it to you to work, but it's also the fact that, are you providing prayer? Are you providing faith? Are you providing a life that reflects Jesus and that God can put his stamp of approval on? Are you being a leader in your home? So many men want to be the head of the household, but they want to sit around doing nothing to lead. I'm telling you, this sounded better when I was preaching in the mirror. Whew, praise God. And I want you to know that we're coming to this point where I really want you to understand, what does it mean to be a church of the second mile? Well, let's just look in Matthew chapter 5 for a minute, and I want you to know that it was just a couple, the same year, or maybe a second year or two after we was here, Pastor Dosick said some things about our church, and one thing he said is that you guys are going to be the church of the second mile. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want you to read right here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, we're going to start with. And it says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the way the world does stuff. But in the kingdom, the Bible says that we have to pray for our enemies. And I want you to see right here that it says this, I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Boy, this is tough stuff. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And I want you to know that it used to be in the culture of this day, especially a servant, if they looked out and saw someone from outside of the land journeying, carrying stuff, they would run and they would carry it for them 1 mile before they set it down and let that person pick it up again. But in this case, the Lord even said, 1 mile is not enough because the Spirit of God is in you, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The Lord's expectation is that we can go farther. Hallelujah. Boy, it's quiet in here. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. I know I read that once. I wanted to read it again. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans or the unbelievers do the same? If you salute your brethren only, what more than others? Even the unsaved world does so. But you, therefore, who are perfect or complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect and complete. What does it mean to be the church of the second mile? It means that you'll lay down your life for someone else. It means that even when people fall down, you'll pick them up. Even when people backslide, the Bible says this, that when you see a brother in a fault, or when you see a brother overtaken in a sin or a circumstance, instead of just sitting back judging and accusing and spewing darkness over them, the Bible says, restore them quickly. Pick them up, work with them, love them, restore them. And I tell you what it means to be the church of the second mile. It is to be the people that will receive people where they're at. And just, boy, is that the rain coming? Whew. Oh, I feel like this is a witness to us that the Lord is wanting his kind of rain to come down on us. I'm serious about this. I want you to know something. Can we lay down our life for someone else? Can we intercede and bear the burden for someone else? Can we come alongside, according to James chapter 5:16, and confess our faults one to another instead of tearing somebody down and tail-bibbing and telling their story? Can we shut our mouth and join them in prayer and support them until they become who they're supposed to be in the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Well, I'll preach the second part of this next week. Maybe that'll give you time to go home and remember that every now and then you should shout or clap or encourage me or something. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory, God. We just declare your blessing, Father. Lord, I just thank you that even right now, Lord, that you are calling us to a higher place, Father. Remember, you said, come up higher. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Before, yes, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But now you don't hate your enemies and plan how you can defeat them in the natural. You pray for them and pray that they get supernaturally changed.